Me.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this,
I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Take a pause from your to-do list with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of Squirrel Friends, the official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast.
Yes.
Now, listen, if you're a returning listener, welcome back. If you're a first-time listener, welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm Alec Mappa, and I'm here to introduce America's sister, the queen of all media, Lonnie Love.
Hello, Alec. How are you, my dear?
I'm good. What's going on? I heard there was something in the news lately about our friend Nina West.
Yeah, I wanted to give a quick shout-out and a show of love to Nina West. Recently, she did a wonderful open letter to Out Magazine. If you go to outmagazine.com or either check out Nina West on her Instagram, you can find it, because she has been going through a lot. She does these drag story times.
Yes.
And she has been getting a lot of negative protesters. Just recently on Twitter, there is a video of a man basically trying to interrupt her show. She handles it with grace.
At the library while she's reading to kids? Or
no, this was an actual show that was 18 and over. They check IDs. Mm-hmm. And this man comes in and he's saying, there are children here. There are children here. And everyone is saying, there are no children
There's no kids here.
Yeah. There are no kids here. And it's 18 plus, and they checked our IDs.
Okay.
And so because of all of this, she has been getting a lot of, because when the pandemic was happening, she was doing story time. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to reiterate, she is one of our RuPaul Drag Race sisters.
She is one of our RuPaul Drag Race sisters, and she's from Columbus, Ohio.
Yes.
And she's known in Columbus, Ohio as being a big fundraiser. Like, if you need to raise money, you go to Nina West. She's raised so much money for the community and for Columbus, Ohio, and raised awareness of Columbus, Ohio, that they've named a street after her downtown Columbus, Ohio, Nina West Way. And it's not just since Drag Race. For the past 10 years, she's been reading to kids in the library. And let me tell you, for all the Squirrel Friends out there who are listening,
let them know.
Drag time storytelling is basically a drag queen just reading a children's book in a library. That's it.
That's
getting
it.
Kids excited about reading. It's somebody in a big costume and a big wig. The kids get really animated, really excited. And all of these people have decided, after all this time where there's not been a problem, that all of a sudden, because I hate drag queens and I hate gay people, I've come up with an idea that they're all grooming and that they're all predators. So it justifies me being a dick at a live show.
And it's not the case. And the whole reason it's in this country, the thing about Nina West, she is the most kid-friendly drag queen I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And she would not do anything to hurt a child. Mm-mm. And she even quoted as saying, when she came on RuPaul's Drag Race, the reason why she does this is because there are a lot of LGBT plus people that have children. Mm-hmm. And they want to see part of their culture reflected. Mm-hmm. And so that's why she also does it. And so, people, I just wanted to show her some love, Alec, because I see the negativity that's happening with her. And she gave a wonderful open letter that I want everyone to go to. I will post it.
Okay.
And also, we'll also retweet it on my Twitter at Lonnie Love, because we have to show love to the people that are doing good. And everyone is allowed to express themselves. And she is just a wonderful, wonderful person. So I wanted to give Nina West some love. And that's all I wanted to do. So.
I mean, the thing that's absolutely bananas to me is that one of the last drag queen story time things was protested against in Columbus, Ohio. The Proud Boys showed up.
Oh, yeah.
And they were armed. So it's kind of like there's a disconnect happening when you have guns showing up at a library where somebody's reading to kids.
Exactly. And it, so, you know, and the thing is that now she's having, like, even at this show that she was at where the man was protesting, there were police officers outside. So now they have to have security because people like him come in and protest and things like that. And it's not even like that. This is right. All about fun. This is about, you know, something for the children. So
yeah. We
just want our squirrel friends to be aware of what is happening. And this is the reason why we have to have allies. We have to speak up. We have to vote. We have to make sure that there are policies in place that protect everyone and allow everyone mm-hmm. to be and express who they are. So shout out to Nina West.
Right.
And with that said, we're going to get into this episode 3, which is exciting.
Episode 3 already. Oh. It's going by so fast.
It is. I mean, come on. Give me the spoilers so that everybody
knows. Okay, the spoiler alerts. If you haven't listened to the show yet, I mean, we did take a slight detour to talk about Nina West, but that's important.
Yes.
Because we have to tell the truth on this show. We have to tell the truth about ourselves. We can't give the story to other people to tell because they're going to tell it wrong.
Exactly.
In this episode, spoiler alert, ding, we are going to talk about the Heavenly infomercials
Uh-oh.
That they filmed this week on RuPaul's Drag Race. They had a metallic themed runway.
Beautiful.
We're going to talk about that. We'll see how the lip sync for your life and elimination turns out. And we have a special guest joining us a little later to chat about her time on this season, the alien queen herself, Irene Dubois. She's here, so stay tuned for that.
But first, it is time for 15 seconds to say. Alec and I have 15 seconds to race and say all of our most important thoughts and takes on a topic given to us by our producers. It's season 15.
Our producers want to rush through our opinions. At one point. It's like, I want to hear your opinions, but I want to give you 15 seconds.
You see
seconds,
what happened with that Nina West? We almost made a whole hour of it.
I guess so. We could talk about Nina West for an hour, but we got to talk about this episode. Okay, 15 seconds
okay.
to talk about what?
This week, what we're going to talk about for this episode, we have 15 seconds to say who we think had the best debut of this season of Drag Race and why.
God, Lonnie, that was so good. You could do this for a living.
Alec,
you could be
I'm about
on
to time
the radio.
You ready?
Okay.
Ready, set, say.
My favorite person in the first two episodes was Anitra from Las Vegas. I think she had the best debut. My favorite part of Drag Race is discovering new talent. Mm-hmm. And for me, she's the new find of the season.
Great.
And I hope she stays up there. Okay, great.
Look at you. You did
not bad.
Really good. Okay.
Okay. Are you going to time yourself? Don't cheat. Okay, let me time you. I'm going to pull up my phone.
God,
15 seconds isn't a lot of time.
I did not prepare for this.
Okay, I know, but this is the lightning round. Okay, ready,
goodness.
Set, say.
The person that I think had a really great debut is the Mistress, because Mistress is bold and proud, and she mm-hmm. is herself. She's showing that she's Texas, and I love her and her comedy, and I can't wait to see more of her this season.
That was perfect.
Oh my goodness, I love it.
Without even watching the clock. That is amazing. I do like Mistress. I told you that I saw her in Texas.
Yes, you did.
And the thing that impressed me about her was she did a whole bunch of lip syncs. She grabbed the mic and then she went out into the audience. Now, you know me, anybody who does crowd work is impressive to me.
You love that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you do that, right?
All the time. I love
really?
Crowd. I love crowd work.
What do you love about it?
Because I love meeting people.
Do you have responses planned in your head?
No, I just let it happen.
No.
Because if a person comes to a comedy show, they're looking to laugh. Most of the time, they're looking to laugh. They're looking to have a good time. So, you know, you will find that people are just giddy and open. Plus, you know, they probably had a little...
Right.
Drinking.
I know. There are people who do crowd work all the time. You, Jessica,
oh, yes. I love
Kirsten.
Jessica.
I mean, anybody who like, and I just kind of, what happens is I'll get into it and then if somebody's boring, I kind of blank.
Oh, you know.
What is it for a living? I work in a store.
Well, that was okay. Our 15 seconds to say. If you want us to say something for 15 seconds, DM or message us your ideas at Alec Mappa on Instagram or at Comic Lonnie Love on Instagram or at Lonnie Love on Twitter. And with that said, we're going to take a quick break because we got to get into this episode, Alex.
That's right. And I got to work on my crowd work. I'm a mess. We'll be right back.
Me.
Food.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. There's some gossip this week.
We are in the workroom. Okay, remember I told you when Robin Fierce came in, she looked at Amethyst and said, I'm not saying nothing. I'm not going to say nothing. You don't have to say nothing. So I was like, oh, what happened? What's going on?
Yeah, but see, that's if you say that, I'm not going to say nothing, then everybody's going to hang on that. It has to like, don't do that. So what Robin and Amethyst spilled the beans on was the fact that they used to date. They briefly dated.
And Amethyst was the one that said, no, we should just be friends.
There's a big history of like drag queens dating other drag queens.
Really?
Alaska and Sharon Needles used to be a couple.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Bob the drag queen and Ms. Cracker were a thing.
What?
Yeah. I don't think I'm speaking out of turn, but they used to, maybe they just did it. Maybe they just screwed. I don't know if they dated. Maybe they dated for 15 minutes. I don't, forever, however long that took. I know that Brooklyn Heights and Vanjie had a thing.
You got the T-E-E.
Oh. These are all the important facts. I think that I would not have the energy to have a show dance while I'm doing a show. Afterwards, I would be like, during a competition, I wouldn't want my focus to be divided.
I want to take this back because Amethyst says she's a bad texter. Robin was very busy and they just said it was a mutual split up. So, you know, it's hard to work with someone or it's hard when you're a creative person. It's hard. Mm-hmm. I dated a comic one time and it was hard because we were in competition with each other. And it was like he was at a different level than I was. And then I started growing. And it's so I think sometimes that could be a little bit difficult if you are in this.
You have to be with somebody who lines up with what you do.
Yeah.
If you're dating another actor, which I've done, I don't recommend it because one of you is always going to be working and one of you is not. And when one of you, like when you said that when they're not on your level, it takes a really secure person to kind of be happy for you and be cool.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if you're dating another comic and they do what you do and you're doing better, then that gets tricky.
Yeah. And so it's just best to just, you know, at that point, break it off. Which now I'm going to go back because I am right. Amethyst is the one that broke it off. And Robin said that the chapter is closed. So I think Robin still have a feeling. You know, that's what I got.
Really?
That's what I got. I got that.
Okay.
You know,
but
so.
She was the one who said the chapter's closed. So you think that she's like in denial?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was, you know.
Cause... Well, listen, a woman knows.
Well, you know what? We got a lot of episodes with those two, hopefully.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Maybe we'll
also,
find out more.
Lucy LaDuca doesn't think that she should have been in the bottom from last week. She's angry. She's embarrassed.
Right. Well, she came in with guns a-blazing. And she had her whole kind of talent show thing worked out. I'm going to sing live. I mean, I get the thought process behind it. If I sing live, that's something that not everybody else is going to do. And I'm going to stand out. She did stand out, but for all the wrong reasons. So she seems really determined to do much better in this episode.
Well, the thing is that RuPaul came in for the maxi challenge.
Yes.
How did you like that outfit?
This beautiful suit. It's like a black and white print suit. I asked Ru on set, where do the suits come from? And he said a lot of them were vintage, but I think he's having things made now.
Oh, okay.
This was a black and white print. It was so cute.
I love a good black and white print because, you know, and then the pop of color was around his neck. He walked into the workroom and says 3/4 of adults in the United States believe in heaven. But what heaven actually looks like is someone else's guess. So for the maxi challenge, he wants the queens to sell us their vision of the afterlife or the queer after. I thought that was funny, the queer
That's
after.
That's very funny.
So he divided them up in three teams. Now, the first team was based on Anitra. She got picked because she won last week's challenge.
Correct.
Then you had Amethyst, and she got picked because she survived the lip sync. And then the rest were called the leftovers.
Right. Right.
It's a lot of people.
It's leftovers. Like... Well, you know, it's the top of the season. So there's going to be group challenges where they just got to, you know, they want to see all your individual performances.
Oh
so you
God.
Have to break them up into groups, especially
that was
this
so
year.
Many
16
people.
Queens.
Oh, my God.
Well, first of all, my idea of the queer after, and I want to hear yours. Mine is like I go to heaven and it's like the NBA, only everybody is gay and they want to have sex with me. That's it. That's it. I arrive in heaven and it's like the Staples Center. And I come in and everybody's like, right this way. And they walk me right to the locker room.
You know what? I hate you.
And all the refreshments are free. I can get free pretzels, free beer, and just kind of hang out with the gay NBA. For the rest of my life.
You know, my idea of the queer after is actually coming and learning everything that I should have learned on Earth. Like how to walk in heels, how to put on the correct eyebrow, how to put on an eyelash correctly.
You've had time to learn that.
No,
Trinity
I
put
did,
you in
no,
all that
no,
stuff.
I should have learned it earlier. Allie, that's what I'm saying. I just, okay. just should have. But that's like, to me, the ultimate. You know, it's like, that's why I love, you know, the queens because-
Sorry. One second. Hold.
My sister, what is happening?
My sister's calling me.
Oh.
Hi. I'm podcasting right now. Can I call you back in a couple
is
hours?
Is everything okay?
Are
she
you
okay?
Right? Okay. Say hi to Lonnie
fine.
Love.
Hi, sis.
All right. I'll call you afterwards. Oh, for heaven's sakes. I'm turning my phone off. This is a nightmare.
Squirrel friends, I thought that we had actually silenced Alex's phone.
I know.
But we didn't.
I said it all wrong. So your idea of the queer after is another episode of Celebrity Drag Race.
Yes.
I thought you had enough.
And I will be the RuPaul position.
That's okay. All right. Okay.
I would love that one. So we've got three teams. We've got Anitra, Lux, Sasha, Selena, and Masha on one team, which I thought, okay, I'm not going to say right now. Because I'm like, I'm looking at the teams. I'm like, that's interesting. Then team two, you had Amethyst, you had Lucy, you had Aura, Spice, Princess Poppy. And then the leftovers were Mistress, Malaysia, and Jax, and Robin, and Sugar. So
that's a lot of queens.
It's a lot
that's
happening.
A lot.
It was
that's
a lot happening. So this is what I wanted to ask you.
Okay.
Because we go into the workroom prep day, but before we go into the workroom prep day, you know, if you had to pick just based on what you see right now with all of those ladies, which ones, like just pick the top two that you would want to work with.
Okay. I'm already looking at the first team and it has some big personalities in it.
Mm-hmm.
Selena Estides has a lot of energy.
Right.
And Marsha is a BFA in musical theater. So I think I would gravitate towards team one.
Team one. Yeah. I would gravitate towards team one, but I would love to have, I think Mistress Isabel Brooks has a lot of talent, but this is the thing. Sometimes when you're this plus size person, people either they're intimidated by you or they try to take over you. They try to ignore you.
Huh.
I have found in my 50 years of living that when you are a talent like that, either people are intimidated or they tend to try to ignore you. And the reason why I say that is that when the leftovers got together mm-hmm. and started talking, Mistress was trying to get them together. And then Sugar, of course, being young, started talking and everybody started getting annoying. And then that's when Jax came in, and then Jax started taking over. When actually, if they would have listened to Mistress, who has, I feel, a lot more experience, who is a lot more creative.
You're saying that they kind of slept on her.
Right.
Until Sugar got annoying.
Right. And then once Sugar got annoying, then Jax jumped in, and Jax was just like, you know what, just slide down to the end of the table, you know? And then that made Sugar get into her feelings, you know? And so then the other teams were looking, Spice was looking, and Spice was like, something's wrong with my sister.
Okay.
And going to the workroom prep day, you know, you can see that there are some emotions that's going on, because now you have these three teams. Marsha thinks that Sasha should serve as God for their group. And I like that. See, Marsha is very creative. And so she can automatically pick and choose. This is when you're smart. If you know that you're on a team, you got to try to stand out. You're going up against two other teams. So the thing that Marsha is like, okay, who's the person that we know that should probably play God? Now, she said that Sasha should play God for the group. Lucy wants to play Dolly Parton because she is a good Dolly Parton impersonator. Right. So she wants to be God for the group. Mm-hmm. Mistress thinks that, now going back to team three, that they should feature gay icons. The other girls are not listening because they're too busy into their own feelings.
Right.
Sugar is full of ideas. And then that's when I said the group was getting annoyed because she just won't stop talking.
She won't stop talking. And I think that she was like saying something about heaven was going to be like this messy thing.
Yeah.
Or like you got to heaven and there would be gay icons, but they'd all be busted. So everybody's kind of like, no.
Because the thing is that you want it to be funny and you want it to be fun. You don't want it to be, there could be some slight shade, but to me, it's an infomercial. And it's like, to me, if you're saying this is an infomercial, to me, an infomercial is what? You're selling something. So if you're selling queer heaven, you want to go there. It's a place you should want to go.
I mean, I had an answer right away. I know what my queer heaven looks like. I mean, it's like, it's heaven. It's all the good stuff that you want to get. So they all arrive on the set. I could kind of tell before they went to rehearsal who was going to do well. Because in the third team, it seemed like they were all over the place.
All over.
And the other thing that people don't get is with the comedy challenges, the thing that's going to help you is a solid beginning, middle, and an end.
Yes. We always say that. You always tell me that.
You know, it's writing. It's writing. It's structure. I mean, it's like writing a joke. You have to have a beginning. You have to have a punchline. So they have the infomercial. There's Michelle, who's directed a billion of these things.
Yes.
At this point. She always directs the mini challenges.
She understands comedy. She understands acting. She knows, because this is her subject, she knows. She can look immediately and tell you how to create your 3 minutes and make it gold.
Right, right. And if Michelle is questioning a joke in the sketch as you're making it, and she's like at one point she goes, okay, so in your queer after, you can have a mimosa inside a mimosa? And they went, yeah. And then she went, okay.
It's like, why?
No, you want to laugh. You want, you know, like if there was like a buffet where you could eat like whatever you wanted for as much as you wanted, you'd never gain any weight. Do you know, there's some comedy in that.
But it was funny because Sugar's team, which was the third team with Mistress and all of them, Sugar made the comment that she was doing all the work. Like they didn't have any lines, which at the rehearsal, it did kind of look like they were just like looking around. So I'm like, did they write a script? Did they write an outline? What did they, what have they been working on?
We have to go to a break, but I got to tell you a joke. One of my favorite heaven hell jokes.
Okay.
And then we'll go to break. So this guy arrives in hell and the elevator door opens and the devil's standing there and the devil says, welcome to hell. And the guy goes, okay. And he goes, do you like gambling? He goes, I love gambling. He goes, well, on Monday is gambling day. You can play craps, poker, everything you want to do, it's all gambling. And the guy's like, great. And he goes, do you like drugs? And he goes, yes. He goes, Tuesday is drug day. You can do as much coke as you want. You can shoot up heroin, crystal meth. You can do as many drugs in hell on a Tuesday as you want. Tuesday's drug day. And he goes, great. He goes, do you like gay sex? And the guy says, no. And he goes, oh, well, you're going to hate Wednesday.
We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this.
I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered. Could just be me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global. Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back.
Oh my God. I'm still laughing from your joke, Alex.
Okay. You're going to hate Wednesday.
Look, we are now at the workroom runway day. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. I love this time because you get stories. You get the stories.
Right. As everybody's putting on their makeup, this is your chance to get acquainted with everybody as they're beating their face.
Exactly.
I really do appreciate these beats, actually, a lot.
I really, really do. Selena is confident that her group did well. Sugar and Spice discuss how they felt about their group. Sugar felt like her group was being too serious. They weren't picking up any of her ideas. And Spice tells Sugar to stand up for herself.
Yeah. I feel a little sorry for them.
I think
that everybody kind of like is ready to hate them. You know, and just kind of there's a generational divide. And I think there's resentment because they're not live queens.
Yeah.
But as I watch them more and more, I see that like, there's skill to what they do. It's not what the other girls are doing. They haven't been performing for 10 years.
Right.
But there's something that they do that they figured out that they're good at.
Right. And, you know, this is the point of where you kind of do feel for them. And you're like, you know. So some of the queens are loving them. And some of the queens are like, okay. Mm. Jack said that she wrote the entire script for her group, even though Michelle was like, what's happening?
I didn't hear any lines.
So we'll see.
I don't know if I take credit for that sketch. But she said that she wrote the whole thing. Malaysia had a really big beat. Fox. Just talking about being Christian and battling being attracted to men and prayed every day to not be gay. Mm. And she had a very interesting story about how her family accepted her. Mm-hmm. And that way, you know, her mother loves her and the family accepted her. Mistress revealed that her parents were not accepting of her.
Yeah.
And she had to be out on her own as a teenager. And that's when she found drag.
Yeah. Yeah. She was out on her own.
And I do get that about her. Yeah. I do get there's kind of a, what I get about Mistress is when she said at the first episode, you have to earn my sisterhood. Mm-hmm. I don't just say everybody's my sister right away. Mm-hmm. There is something about her that seems to be like, I'm going to watch everybody and wait and see who's cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I could really relate to Malaysia because especially in the African American community, there is still this stigma about homosexuality and sexuality in general. And so,
especially if you grew up in the church.
Oh my goodness. It's just, it's so bad. I mean, still to this day, Alec, I have a friend who his whole family, his father is a minister and his brother is a minister. And he has determined, he let them know he came out. He said, I'm not going to not be who I am.
Right.
Because, you know, you guys have these policies. And this was maybe last year. They've been knowing, you know, they get along as a family, everything. But he said, he called me one day and he was in tears because he said he was on the front row and his dad was preaching and started preaching this whole anti-gay, you know, in front, right in front of
him. Right in front of your own kid.
And he was so angry and he was so mad and he was so hurt. And this is what people go through still. This is the reason why I wanted to be a strong ally for the LGBTQ plus community, because I have friends who, there are a lot of people to this day that are still like, you know, they will kill themselves or, you know, they will stay in the closet. They will try to marry another sex when they know that they are gay because they're trying to still hide. And we have to let people be themselves.
And it's a fear of like this whole thing about like, your parents love when you were a kid, as your brain is forming, as your child. You know, did you ever like lose your mom in a supermarket when you were a kid? You turn around and they're gone.
Right.
That feeling of panic, that feeling of like loss, of abandonment is like so strong in us that as queer people, when you fear the rejection of your parents, it's really like you're going to lose your life. You're going to lose your world if my mom and dad don't accept me.
Right.
So the fact that Mistress went out on her own, found a community, tells me that she's a really super strong person.
Yeah. And that's why we, you know, we advocate these groups. And if you're never alone, but we ask people to reach out to different groups. If you are, you know, you don't have to be homeless. There are organizations out there to help you. And this is another reason why we're so happy that, you know, Drag Race has been able to go on even in season 15, because we still need to have this platform to show the love and all the creativity of the queer community. So, you know, with that said, we're going to go to the main stage because I love when those lights come out. Dun, 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 dun.
I know. They added a little bit of thing to the intro this year, like a brush and the makeup. Rue comes out in this kind of Marilyn Monroe ruched gown.
Oh.
It's gold metallic with platinum blonde hair.
Looking like an Oscar.
She looks like an Oscar. I'm amazed that she looks this good in platinum blonde hair. Because that's such a difficult color.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not good. That would wash anybody else out. But it makes her face look warm and everything. I know that Raven's doing her makeup, so she looks absolutely fantastic.
I mean, it just looks golden, so.
The judges this week are Maren Morris, who you say is a country singer.
Yes, she's a strong ally, very outspoken.
Yeah, I want to see her stuff now.
And she's just a great, and I've interviewed her a number of times. And when I say a cool person, you know, who knows who she is and stands up, a great ally. So I was happy to see her as a guest judge. Also, we had Michelle and T.S. Madison, our new rotating regular judge.
Have you met T.S. Madison?
Yes. I love T.S. Madison.
Yeah.
I love it.
I had dinner with T.S. Madison in Atlanta with her mother, with T.S. Madison's mother, her mother Mary, who now lives in that great big house that she's bought for them outside of Atlanta. And I'm just fascinated by her story. You know, she's this person who was started out humbly as a sex worker and then figured out media and has made her own fortune. She's her own person. Mm-hmm. And now she's completely blown up.
Yeah.
And just from being authentically herself.
Yeah. Who she is. Yeah. And those are the people we support.
And she once told me, I have nothing to hide because I own my entire story.
That's it. That's it. Nothing to hide. And that's
what
we love.
That's beautiful.
That's what we beautiful. Love. Now, let's talk about the infomercials.
Okay.
We finally get to see them. Team Anitra's is Palm Springs is heaven for the gays.
It's kind of true. It's kind of true. If you've been to Palm Springs, the entire city council in Palm Springs is gay. And their Palm Springs Pride is in November because it's cooler. Mm-hmm. And there's all the high schools in the area, all the marching bands from the area march in the Palm Springs Pride Parade, which I think is so cool. So it starts off with Selena Estiti's dead. And Sasha Colby is God, and she's telling her that you died. And she's introducing her to all the parts of heaven. And each time she does, to signify the scene changing, she breaks her own neck.
That crack in the neck is hilarious.
It was so funny.
Can I tell you, I love when RuPaul cackles. I just love hearing it. It's like a
yeah. She laughs with her whole body. And that's when you know you're winning. If you make RuPaul laugh, make Mother laugh. The gay amenities were for all. They had Lux Noir playing
the psychiatrist.
A therapist.
Yeah,
a therapist.
Very good.
I thought it was really good. It had a beginning, a middle, and an end, and everybody was really strong.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Then we're on to Team Amethyst. The opening was not timed well to me.
Mm-mm.
You know, she was on her knees facing one of the pit crew.
Yeah.
And she was trying to make a joke. And this is the thing. Michelle told her, you have to be quicker, you know, when you're popping out. It's like popping out, you know.
It was a joke of somebody. She's blocked by one of the pit crew's crotch and looked like she's giving a BJ. And they said, are you a drag queen? Yes. And she has to pop out her head.
Right.
So it was like all these like three. It was a series of three questions that she had to answer really quickly. But she was going so slowly that it you missed the joke.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
The timing is everything when it comes to joke. I mean, they were using a lot of gay lingo and puns, but you know, the best thing about this infomercial was the Dolly Parton. That was the best thing.
Just like her.
Oh my God.
I've never heard anybody do a vocal impression of Dolly Parton. I'm finding that Lucy LaDuca has a higher voice naturally, but she did this whole Dolly thing where she kind of like squeaked at the top of everything. She was really, really good.
They should have added more of Dolly, you know, because the rest of the stuff, it kind of got lost. But then
it was kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
It was kind of all over the place. Now, Team Leftovers, this is the thing where they were putting down Sugar's ideas. They had an idea that heaven was about drag haggatory. Like it was about like girls who enjoy going to drag shows.
Yeah.
And that doesn't seem like, that seems more like something that queer people are annoyed by rather than heaven.
Right. Right.
And so they kind of like shot themselves in the foot with that, because then it was just about this. It was just about Sugar being annoying.
Right.
And all the other queens going, ugh.
Right.
Like she's like, do my makeup. I want to go to your drag shows. I want to tip everybody. And it's kind of like, we've all seen that girl in real life. It's like, I don't want to see you after I'm dead.
Right. 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 And then I was like, it's supposed to be positive and happy. Why are they doing something where, you know, it's too close for comfort?
You know?
So I didn't like that. And then it was funny because after they showed that, did you see the judge's reaction? Like,
they were like,
it's like,
I have to say that it's becoming like, you know, like towards the end of Heidi Klum's tenure at Project Runway, if she didn't like something, she was just like, oh, that's ugly. Like she would just like, and I think at season 15, they're civil, but they're not pretending anymore.
No. It's lights out. It's like
when Amethyst came out in that flat shoe in the first episode, I thought Rue had murder in her eyes. Like, if looks could kill, she'd be full of lead.
Oh my goodness.
Buckshot.
Oh, well, they compete as teams, but they will be judged individually. Thank goodness.
Okay? Thank goodness. Thank goodness.
Some of this was horrible.
I know. Now
we go into the runway category, and it is Metallica.
So it's all kind of metal-looking finishes and everything. Anitra was first out. She came out in a short, what she called a Charlize Theron wig. And she had kind of like a Gaga-looking outfit. It was a metallic bodysuit with stockings and a long cape that had pointy shoulders. Rue said that she looked like a lesbian baked potato.
No, I love that. I loved that.
Yeah. I thought it was good.
It was really good. I always love like the Metallica looks, you know. Up next, you had Sasha Colby.
Who looked like a metallic bird.
Yes.
She had a headdress with like these metallic spikes coming out of it, but they were all silver. So she looked like a Las Vegas showgirl, complete with a tail and a metallic front that was all silver and shiny. And this is where, like, to me, Sasha Colby, like, even in the first episode when they were doing the opening number, It's she knows how to be noticed. Mm. And also she knows how to paint for the stage. Yes. This is where her experience as, because we've had people on the show going, I had my outfit backstage and I didn't know that it was going to photograph that way. Oh. This one is not making a false move. She knows how to do her face and she knows what's going to read on the runway.
She knows that body, honey. Up next, she have Selena S. Titties.
She goes, I'm a street girl from LA. So she dresses a lamppost. Full of signs. Now, it was a silver metallic bodysuit, and she had a sign in front that looked like a street sign that said S. Titties Boulevard. She had a headdress on top that looked like the top of a lamppost. I like the idea. I didn't like the execution.
Okay.
I like the idea of you coming out covered, and Michelle had a funny joke. She says, you know what she speaks?
Sign language. Yeah.
Having all of the Los Angeles references all over her body, I don't know. There was just, I feel like there was a better way of doing this. I kind of wanted to see the outfit underneath the signs, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what you were missing. And I think
it looked kind of crafty to me. It looked kind of like crafty.
This is the second runway. Okay. I get it. I get where you're from. I get
but you feel me?
Yeah, I need to see some glamour now. And the next one's coming up. I need to see glamour. It's like, okay, we get the camp. We get where you're from. We get, but now let's show us that glamour, you know? So that's what I mean. Yeah. Up next is Lux Noir London.
Lux Noir London, who is, I said she did drag on Instagram for a year. Mm. It seems like she's a really good look queen. This is, she came out in a gold metallic goddess number. Her hair was kind of swooped up into this updo, kind of like how RuPaul has done updos in the past. Yes. But this was a really beautiful gold cape that had movement to it, a gold bodysuit underneath.
Yes.
And I thought she looked gorgeous.
And the long gold nails. She gave me feeling of Simone, you know.
Ish. Yeah. She does remind me of Simone a little bit. And also in her interview, she seems so young.
Yeah.
Like she seems like she just turned 21. She's cute as a button. Next up, we have Marsha. Here's my problem.
Okay,
Marsha is in kind of like this dirndl German dress version of the Tin Man from Wizard of Oz. She has this corset top with this short skirt that kind of pleats out in this kind of silver copper metallic. Last week they said you have to step your makeup up.
Yes.
That you just had mascara on and some chapstick and it's not enough for Drag Race. Now, when they give you a note, they're watching to see if you're listening.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't take the note, then they think, oh, you know better than me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've been doing this my whole life. We've watched 15 seasons of these queens. We're not pulling a note out of our ass.
Right.
We're giving you a note to make you better.
Right.
And she didn't take the note.
At all. No. No.
It's... So I'm kind of bugged by that, Marsha. I want to know what was going through her head where she heard the note, she took it, she said, I will not disappoint, and she had on chapstick and
she had a little rouge on the side.
Eyeliner.
I mean,
she's young and she's pretty. She's adorable. I mean, there's no question about it. She's very passable, but they're saying we want to see drag.
So tell me the difference between regular makeup, because this looks like regular makeup, and drag makeup.
Okay. I will be glad to illustrate the difference, Lonnie Love. In 2002, I was doing a movie where I played a drag queen called Connie and Carla, and that was the name of the movie. It was with Nia Vardalos and Toni Collette. And so we did makeup tests before we shot, and they had me in a black wig and full makeup, and I just looked like a crazy Filipino lady. I passed. So they said, we have to make her look more like a drag queen. So they put me in a big blonde wig and they exaggerated my makeup so it looked like I was a man impersonating a woman instead of somebody just passing. And I think what Marsha is doing is she's already a pretty girl to begin with.
Right.
So she's not doing the makeup that Mistress Isabella is doing. Mistress Isabella is doing everything she can to make her look like a glamorous drag queen. And Marsha is painting to just kind of walk on the subway and pass.
Okay. That's the difference. It's an exaggeration.
And under these lights, and if you don't have a lot of makeup on under these lights, it's not going to read.
Right. Yeah. It doesn't read at all.
It doesn't read.
Thank you for that explanation.
You're welcome, Lonnie Love. Next up, we have Amethyst, who also went the gold route, but this time she had on a gold bodice suit that had a little skirt pleating out to the side and this gigantic gold cape.
Adorable.
That billowed far more than Lux Noir's did. She had this big, frizzy, blonde wig that was all frizzed out, and Rue said, note to self, never perm your own hair.
Yeah, that was funny.
But I like this wig. I like the size of this wig. I thought she looked great.
Yeah, the symmetry of the hair with the outfit was perfect. Mm-hmm. It was perfect. It was a perfect gold outfit, and I really liked it on her. Up next, we had Princess Poppy.
Who came out as kind of this robot girl, kind of like something that Katy Perry wore, would wear in concert. She had a bright blue wig. Well, I love the size of the wig. It's like, again, another metallic corset dress that had a mini skirt, like a metallic tutu at the sides. She looked great, but again, this was kind of like, I don't want to, you know, put anybody down or anything, but this was like, it's season 15. Step it up.
Yeah. I mean, it's
nice.
It's nice, but it's not. This is MTV Movie Awards. This is MTV. And so I get it. But it's like Drag Race season 15. She could have added a long train. She could have did something to just, you know, vev it up a little bit more.
Or something new. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, that's the other thing is like, There were some queens who it's clear they've done their homework. You know, they're coming in with all these fashion references and all these great clothes and everything. And I feel like this is a good reference, but it's kind of
three, four years
ago. Yeah.
So anyway. Next, we have Spice.
So the Spice Girls, Spice and Sugar, they're obsessed with dolls. So again, this looks like a Bratz doll. Mm-hmm. Spice came out in kind of this green Aquanetti wig in the first episode when they were racing around looking for their wigs in boxes. I thought that was hilarious. This is a two-part. She has a little metallic miniskirt, a little metallic bra. She has silver gauntlets on the side. It looks very good. She looks like a Bratz doll. She has, I guess both these girls are kind of short because they both wear, part of the Sugar and Spice look seems to be like platform heels in every color.
Yeah.
Yeah, what'd you think of this, Lonnie? Did you like it?
To me, it's not Drag Race-y enough. It's just, it's just beautiful and they look great. I think people, you know, drag is not just putting on a different color wig and saying, yeah, now look, I'm a drag queen. Yeah. You know, it's more than that. It's having some creativity. It's doing something that's different. I mean, ruffles and trains and
it's a point of view.
I mean, she's not even padded.
Yeah. You know, like when you said last week when she came out in the kind of Beauty and the Beast thing and you said it was like, well, it just seems like cosplay.
Yeah.
Like you were like wanted to be Belle for Halloween. I don't really know who you are.
Right.
And so with these things, like I get it. You like Bratz dolls.
You
like Barbies. You want to look like one. And you're coming out with these looks, but I don't really feel like I know them.
And it's like, should you even be on Drag Race if this is what you're giving for the first two runways?
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Wow, Lonnie hates Sugar and Spice. Did you hear that? She hates them.
No, I don't hate them. I'm saying with experience.
This is a safe place, Lonnie. This is supposed to be a safe space for Squirrel Friends.
Alec, with experience comes, they're gonna get ate up. Believe me.
I know.
Fans are gonna see this and they're gonna be like,
It's the equivalent of taking a knife to a gunfight. You know, it's season 15. You gotta step it up. Next up, we have Aura Mayari, who kind of looked like Poison Ivy.
Yes.
The metallic version of Uma Thurman as Poison Ivy in the Batman movies. She's in this beautiful leotard corset outfit that has like leaves growing out of it. She looks like...
This is what I'm talking about, creativity, Alex.
Metallic broccoli.
Thank you.
She looks really cool.
This is what I'm talking about. She looks like, what do you call it? It's not broccoli. What's the other vegetable?
Brussels sprouts.
That's what she looks like.
She looks like a drag Brussels sprout. And she was making a number of faces, and Rue said that she looked like she was forcing out a fart.
She was having fun. Okay, up next, we have Lucy LaDuca.
I love saying that name, Lucy LaDuca. Lucy LaDuca came out. She was the one who was pissed off because she was in the bottom last week.
Yes.
And so she really brought her A game this time. She is in this metallic, almost kind of like Joan of Arc looking armory bodice.
Multicolored.
It was like, it's gold, and it's purple and it's red, all these different metallics mixed together. Mm-hmm. And she looked beautiful.
She has gorgeous,
like bob length hair, and everything about it really worked. She looked like she was on a spaceship from Vegas.
This is what I'm talking about. It's something different.
This was drag.
Yeah. Up next, we have Jax.
Jax came out in kind of a camo thing. She said she came out, I'm not a gamer, so I didn't know what she was talking about. Mm-hmm. She said that this is her favorite video game character.
Yeah.
That is also her namesake.
Yes.
Jax.
Yes.
So grandma's going to have to Google that because I don't play games. Do you play any video games at all?
I got a headset. So, you know, I'll start playing some games.
Oh, you play that. You do like Oculus stuff. But
yeah.
Are you playing Call of Duty?
I don't have time for all of that. I'm trying to. Yeah. We're working. So, but yeah. But yeah. I got. She did look like a gamer, like a video, game. So, you know, I got
on
it.
She has kind of this slack vest in the front that's like camo, and the sides are kind of gauntlet arms, kind of like a suit of armor.
Yes.
So she has metal on the sides, khaki in the middle. She looks like a drag soldier. I liked it. I wasn't blown away by it.
Yeah.
But also, I don't know the reference. So who cares about my opinion?
Cute. Up next,
Robin Fierce came out next.
Mm-hmm. And I love this.
She kind of looked like the Dora Milaje from Wakanda Forever, Black Panther.
Yes.
She did come out with a spear. She has this wig that was made out of long braids.
Oh.
This kind of reminded me of the Princess Leia metallic bikini from Return of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
But she added kind of this gossamer gold cape with these gold boots.
Oh.
And I thought she looked great.
This is what you do when you're doing Drag Race. I mean, the braids were also braided with like gold string so that you saw the gold highlights in the braids with the spear, with the boots. It all came together. Like you said, this is drag.
I think the thing is with drag is if you're visible from space, you're in the zone. Like if there was a satellite picture of the Drag Race area and we could see your outfit, then you're in the zone. Speaking of which, we have Mistress Isabella Brooks, who came out with a platinum blonde wig. Her face is beat for the gods.
Beat.
Like her makeup, when you see her, like they said earlier, she's like this glamorous drag queen, but out of drag queen, she looks like she owns a pizza parlor. This is really an amazing transformation. And I love her story that she's been doing this since she is a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
So this is her livelihood. She doesn't take herself seriously, but she takes the art form very seriously.
Exactly.
She said she likes streetwear and she's a big girl, so she likes big pieces. So she's dragging a giant gold chain.
Definitely.
And when I say giant gold chain, the links are like, they're huge. And this metallic mini dress with these huge shoulder pads. She's great. The proportions of her stuff are for her body.
Yes.
And she knows how to look sexy.
Yeah. And that's what's important. And that is why she's a contender. She's a contender, Alex.
She's a contender. She's a contender.
Now, somebody who may not be is Sugar.
All right. Here we go again. Sugar came out in a... I feel like they come out in different versions of the same outfit.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's kind of like, okay, this is Sugar's version of the same outfit. This is Spice's version. And I think it's to their detriment.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? If you're going to be twins, like you said earlier, treat them as individuals.
Right.
They're not treating themselves as individuals.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, because she came out, well, she has these metallic chaps, which wasn't, you know, she's not showing her legs, and these metallic chaps that look like bell bottoms that go over her platform heels, and I thought it was kind of awkward. I felt like she was going to trip over it.
Yeah.
She has a metallic kind of halter top and a silver wig that's in ponytails, and she has silver pigtail holders at the side. She has pink gloves. Again, it's cute.
Yeah,
it's cute. It's like you said, it's cosplay. Like, if we were at a cosplay convention for toys, I would know that she was a Bratz doll immediately.
Yeah. And that's nice, but is it drag, okay?
Is it drag?
Last, we have Malaysia Baby Doll Fox.
This is another one who is an expert at what she does. She's a makeup artist in Miami, and you can tell her face is beautiful. She had this horned wig. It's a silver wig that was styled into two cones on top that look like horns.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. And what can only be described as like a silver and white Oscar dress.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like an Oscar gown. Mm-hmm. She likes light colors. Last week she came out in a white gown. And this wasn't a repetition of it, but it seems like that she likes the lighter colors.
Yes. Well, she knows what goes with her skin. And I think that's what she, because there is sleeveless, but then she has on gloves. So that highlights that beautiful cocoa skin that she has. Mm-hmm. And she has chains all around her, which gives you the metallic theme. So I think she knows her body. I think she knows her face. She knows herself.
She knows how to paint. And I love when queens say, I looked at the women. Shea Coulee said her drag in its purest form is a tribute to the black women in her life. And to me, when I see Malaysia Baby Doll Fox's beat, it's like, you must have seen people like that growing up. Or somebody was beautiful that you're now painting that face because she's really good at it. And I could tell she's good at it because she does not look like this out of drag.
Definitely. You know, she's looks totally different.
Yeah.
So it was a great... I liked this runway. The judges gave their critiques. Some of the things that they said was that, you know, they felt like Princess Poppy was getting lost. It was very simple. Like what you said, they said that Jax, she doesn't pad or she doesn't cinch. Also, during the infomercial, they got lost with the...
Oh, that's what she said. I think, you know, sometimes you can be a team player, but to your own detriment.
Also, another one that the judges were concerned with was Amethyst and the blue humor, how it didn't hit. But also, Michelle told her about contouring the nose. She said she is making it too thin. She should be proud of her nose. Amethyst was like, well, no, I don't like my nose. And she says, no, that's what makes you different.
I know. And then RuPaul said, I love your nose. So if Michelle, you know, it made me think of Barbra Streisand. You know, it's like Barbra Streisand's nose is one of her defining features. If you really kind of like are not hiding it and everything, it can become a beautiful defining feature for this queen.
Definitely.
And I'm looking forward to seeing what she's going to look like because that nose contour is not helping. It's not making it look smaller.
No. So RuPaul calls out 45 names and saves them all. And then...
Like, 45 queens are safe.
It's like, and so the challenge winner was Sasha Colby. She wins $5,000. And the bottom two.
$5,000.
Yeah, that's a lot. And the bottom two were Amethyst and Princess Poppy. They lip sync the song Ain't No Mountain High Enough by the one and only Diana Ross.
Right. And Amethyst kind of took it seriously, kind of like, I'm doing Diana Ross. I have this Diana Ross cape. I'm going to bring Diana Ross energy to it.
Right.
And Princess Poppy, kind of like, I saw halfway through it, she's like, I got to come up with something.
Right.
So she started goofing, which I think works most of the time. I mean, I'd see Ben de la Creme. Like, Ben de la Creme can do, like, Cardi B or Nicki Minaj, and she starts goofing, and you can't stop looking at her. But I think that Rue has a kind of reverence for Diana Ross.
Yes, I do, too. Being from the Brewster Projects, I've told you many times, you know, she's a Brewster Projects girl. She would drive through when I was a little girl in a limo and wave at us, and I was like, I'm following you, bitch. And you know, and there's a reverence that Diana Ross at one time in the 70s, she was our black queen.
Oh my God. Just
you know
no
what I mean?
Bigger star.
Yeah.
Just no big Oscar nominated actor, best selling recording artist,
Grammy nominee.
Yeah. Oh
like,
yeah, she's everything. So I don't think that Rue was kind of pleased. I mean, Poppy was doing really funny stuff. She was pulling faces. She was on her back. She was kicking up her legs. But she was being goofy. And I think that Rue didn't think it was right for the song.
Right.
And they ended up keeping Amethyst.
Yep. And they sent Poppy home. Her exit line, she had two middle fingers to the queens and a burp. And in her exit interview, she says, I agree with what the judges were saying. And now I can move on and open my meth-making business. I love a good joke.
I think she was kidding. But
I love it. I love it.
Yeah. You know, so I'm glad that Sasha won.
Yeah. No,
I'm really glad that Sasha won.
She was the one that deserves. This is the thing. People can say what they want. They can think that stuff is fixed or, you know what I mean? There have been rumors and stuff. But when you're in a competition, you compete all the way until that last note of the lip sync.
Yeah.
Don't lose hope. Don't lose energy. Stay in there. Hang in there. You never know because you're still trying to convince the judges. And this was one that I have to say the judges got right.
Yeah, they got it right. They got it right.
Yeah.
Well, listen, squirrel friends, our special guest is crash landing here after this break to dish about her time on the season. Don't go anywhere because Irene Dubois is coming up.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this.
I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Squirrel friends, we're back and delighted to be joined by our guest today. She may have been on this season for one night only, but she will always be a Rue girl. She comes in peace. Please welcome to the program the alien queen, Irene Dubois. Yay!
Oh my God, the thunderous applause is making me feel so
there,
humble.
There you go. Thank you. There's your Muppet Show intro that we used to
exactly
every week. How are you? Yay!
Oh, you know, I'm killing it. I'm slaying.
Yeah, you're on the road already, right?
It's very true. I'm in an airport right now and living my best life on the road, performing for divas all across Northern California.
Wow. So since the premiere, since being announced, did you find like all your bookings happened right away, or those were starting to happen the minute you were cast on the show?
No, the bookings really started to come in after the announcement. My manager sort of was reaching out to different venues and pitching me out, and it's been
great.
Lovely to see them come through. And now that I've been eliminated, I've actually been getting several more booking offers.
That's so
it's like
great.
Now they know I'm cheap.
Shangela set the precedent when she was kicked off of her season. She personally called all the clubs and said she was on the show and failed to mention when she was kicked off. So she had like all these bookings right away. But I think she proved that it being kicked off first really doesn't mean that it's over. It's really just the jumping off point. Do you feel that way?
I hope that that's true. You know what I mean? It's one of those things that's like, I've been doing drag for 10 years and
yeah,
you know, I've been keeping it pushing this whole time. I'm not going to stop now.
Right.
I'm a workhorse. I like working. So I'm just going to keep
me
working.
Too. Me
as long
too.
As people are giving me the opportunity to work, I'll be there.
Right. I think that's the best feeling of like being exhausted after doing something you actually love.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
God, let me tell you, I'm fucking exhausted.
Now, okay, I think everybody's asking, everybody's wondering, with the ice water bit, what were we missing? What was the thing that happened when you did it live?
You know, I think that part of the humor of the bit is that I'm taking something simple that should take about 15 seconds.
Sure.
And I'm stretching it out. And I think that the longer it gets stretched out, the funnier it becomes.
Right.
So part of that is that...
Because that's the comedy.
That's the comedy.
I'm stretching. I'm doing this long, drawn-out infomercial about how to make a glass of ice water.
So, you know, there's a lot of camp that comes from me fumbling with the ice for an entire two-minute period.
Understood.
There's comedy that comes from me, you know, taking a long time to actually pick up the pitcher because it's so difficult for me to get my nails into the handle.
Right.
But I just had to cut because I had to get that whole thing done in a minute.
I know. I mean, that was certainly the feeling we got at the very beginning of it, that it was like, it reminded me of the Jinx Monsoon peanut butter sandwich bit that she did for the dance challenge on TikTok.
Which she filmed before I filmed the show, but didn't air until after I had filmed.
Understood. And
it was sort of one of those things where I was like, you know, watching her succeed at a bit that basically has the same bones as mine.
Mm-hmm.
It was sort of difficult to see, but my bit also has, you know, there's things that were cut out in terms of like descriptions of where you can find things like water, and ice. So
is that an accurate portrait of your sense of humor, this kind of like left of center kind of dry?
You know, there's one thing that I cannot say negative about the show. Actually, there's a ton of things that I can't say negative about the show. I'm very happy with the show, but one thing that they really did right was show my sense of humor. I think that they really took the time to showcase who I am as a comedian outside of the ice water bit.
Yeah.
You know, I got a lot of screen time, and in that screen time, I was cracking jokes, I was doing reads, and I love a joke that goes over people's heads. I love a joke for me.
Yeah. And, you know, you did see your sense of humor, and you did see, like, you establishing rapport with other queens. I'm thinking specifically of Mistress Isabel. I was filming a movie in Houston and I got to see her perform. So I've seen her live and she's amazing. And you said you knew her from the Houston drag scene as well.
Yeah, I grew up in Houston and I started doing drag in Texas, Houston specifically. So right as I sort of flew the coop and moved to Seattle, Mistress sort of emerged as a baby queen. But I got to know her drag through sort of the people that I had built relationships with, specifically my drag children who stayed in Houston. So when she got on the show, I became aware immediately and we sort of began talking over social media. We both knew of each other and it was sort of a, hey, it's good to know that there's someone else who's sort of going into this blind. You know, both of us are sort of established local performers, not necessarily social media or TikTok queens.
Mm-hmm. Walk us through that, the beginning of your drag journey. You're in Texas. What does your life look like? Where are you? Where are you living?
I started doing drag when I was in college at Southern Methodist University in Dallas. I was studying theater, specifically playwriting and directing. And I was very interested in drag just because the theater world at the time was not really doing it for me in terms of breaking barriers.
Right.
I sort of felt like theater as an art form had become more about rehashing the classics. And so I was doing drag sort of as an outlet for my more avant-garde proclivities. And when I started doing drag in Texas, they did not know what to do with me because I was going to do performance art. And Texas drag is all about polish and pageantry. And, you know, in order to get work, I sort of had to learn the craft, which I'm very happy I had to do because when I moved to Seattle and I finally found an audience for my sort of twisted, weird, off the beaten path ideas, I already had a lot of experience in terms of building a look and sort of harnessing the craft of drag, putting together a silhouette and styling a wig.
Yeah, your looks were great. I mean, they were absolutely great. So that leads to my next question, because you kind of like painted a picture for us, the differences between the Houston and Seattle drag scenes. Now, from what you said, it sounds like Houston is more like glamour, pageant, and there's more wiggle room in Seattle for like the alternative drag act.
To sum it up simply, I would say in Houston, it doesn't matter what you do as long as you look good.
Mm-hmm.
And in Seattle, it doesn't matter what you look like as long as you perform well.
Oh, that's really interesting. I haven't been to Seattle in years. What could we expect in a drag show in Seattle that you would perform at?
Chances are someone's going to pour something on themselves or open up a bottle of beer with their ass and drink out of it. Or
that's a Tuesday night over here.
It's just eccentric. You know, people are very interested in being unique in Seattle.
Yeah.
There's not an archetype of a successful Seattle drag queen because to be successful in Seattle, you sort of have to have your own gimmick.
Right. I think the biggest challenge at this point, and tell me if you agree or disagree, is making things new. I mean, coming up stuff that people haven't seen before. I mean, your kind of like avant-garde take reminded me of the stuff that Jimbo did or Willow Pill did. And it's really about like, it's how do we reinvent the wheel here and present the panel with something they haven't seen before?
And it is very hit or miss. You know, I thought that because of the success of certain queens in the past that I might have success myself with presenting something out of the box, but that bit that I did in particular just did not land that day. So
yeah, gosh. Now, you said you and Bosco from season 14 are sisters. What's your relationship like? Where'd you guys meet?
We have been doing drag together for, God, probably like 5 years now. But we met at a party that used to happen in Seattle once a month called Rapture, hosted by a local icon named Arsen Nikki, who just created this space for artists to sort of show up in a look and exist in a place together where drag can sort of be without rules. Mm-hmm. And I remember meeting Bosco and being like, wow, you are beautiful. And a few months later, sort of saying like, hey, I hope drag's working out for you. And she's like, yeah, I sort of haven't had a chance to do it yet. I haven't really been given any opportunities. And I said to her, you know, we just got to keep getting your face out there and being nice to everybody, especially the producers. And she sort of grabbed my arm and leaned in and went, I'm so fucking sick of being nice. And that's when I knew that we were going to be best friends.
Yeah. It's like when somebody speaks the same language, or you find out you meet somebody who hates all the same people.
Yeah.
It's like, you're my friend for life.
100%.
Now, it seems to be like the existing controversy on the show right now is like there's a divide between the queens who came up performing, like you have for 10 years, and Lux Noir and the Sugar Kids, the Sugar Twins, Sugar and Spice, doing things primarily on social media. And my question is there room for queens who come up working primarily on social media?
Of course there is.
Versus live performance and touring.
The best part about the art form of drag is that there is room for everybody. There is no one right way to do drag. There is just a wealth of opportunity out there. And I admire anybody who can find and carve out their own path and sort of explore their own version of success. And I have to say, I'm incredibly proud of the twins for everything that they've done. And I really look up to them. I think they're remarkable business people. The one thing that I will say as like a warning is, if you want to go into an industry and you want to subvert the rules, I think it's important to at least understand the history of that industry so that you really have a grasp of the rules that you are subverting.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? It's kind of like, as queer youth, we kind of find the subculture and we find the references on our own, right? You kind of like, somebody takes you to a revival house and you see a Betty Davis movie, or you see Rosalind Russell and Auntie Mame, and that is lodged in your memory. It's, I think with the young queens, they're flipping through magazines and going through social media, but it sounds as if, and I kind of agree, that there needs to be a deeper dive if you're going to do this.
I think the Drag Race does what it can in terms of encouraging the queer youth of today to sort of go out there and explore the references. But I think that part of the problem is that it's sort of like when the teacher tells you to do the assigned reading, it's not so appealing. I think it's on a lot of I think it's on a lot of the sort of middle ground performers, the queens like me who've been around for, you know, more than a few years, but we're not necessarily like legends or icons yet, to sort of say to the Gen Zs, like,
yeah,
you were beautiful. You're killing it on social media. Go watch All About Eve.
Right. It's kind of like, listen to me. I will walk you through everything. It's like, I don't really feel like spoon feeding people things.
Yeah.
And you're right. It is kind of like more exciting to find stuff on your own. So you came up with the Alien Queen aesthetic. Can you walk us through the genesis of that?
Yeah, it was sort of, I've always really been interested in, part of growing up in Texas as like a very flamboyant queer person was having trouble making friends. And so I spent a lot of time at home watching things like Star Wars and just sort of being interested in sci-fi was something that was there from the jump. And when I started doing drag, there was always this sort of undercurrent of, I wanted to be futuristic. And it wasn't until I sort of gave myself permission to stop being a glamazon and to start being an alien that I really began to bloom as an artist. And it sort of came from being in Seattle and being encouraged to find my own path and not fit in.
Right.
It definitely was not there when I was in Texas. You know, in Texas, I think if I was doing sort of my experimental alien drag, they would have been like, you know, get back to the barn.
That doesn't seem very glamorous.
Yeah.
Where's all the sparkle?
Where's all the sparkles? But, you know, I do love a good sparkle. I'm an alien covered in rhinestones.
I love when you referenced H.R. Giger. That's like my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
I remember looking at those illustrations as a kid after Alien came out and just being fascinated with his art. So good for you. And it sounds as if you found that thing that takes you out of the box. When you said the word, you started to bloom, you found like an aesthetic that kind of like opened up your imagination.
100%. And it has really led me down a path of creating art that I am very proud of and I really believe in and I'm really happy to create.
Now, what I wanted to ask, because we got to wrap up here because you've got a gig to go to. What's your drag superpower? I always feel like drag is like a superpower.
Yeah.
It's like there's Diana Prince and there's Wonder Woman. So what's your superpower?
I think that drag as an art form sort of allows queer people to take control of the narrative of our own femininity and reclaim the power that inherently lies within femininity. Something that a lot of us are bullied for being feminine growing up. And it takes a lot of courage to embrace that femininity. And I think my superpower that came from that is that I'm sort of unshakable.
I love that.
It doesn't matter what you think of me because I love who I am and I'm proud of myself. And so other people's opinions really just don't faze me anymore.
Yeah. It's the reframing of the femininity of queer people as a strength.
Yeah.
You know, it's like all the things that we were taught that were weaknesses as kids, you know, vulnerability.
Now those things
open,
pay
being
my
emotionally
bills.
Available. Yeah. I mean, those are the things that's where all our richness lies. So what's next for you? It's been so great talking to you. What's next for you?
Thank you. I'm just hoping to, you know, travel a little bit and show people what I can do. I feel like I didn't get a wealth of opportunity to show all the facets of my drag on the show. So I'm very excited at the prospect of sort of being at live shows and letting people know that there's a lot more to me than the way I perform Seven Rings.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So where can folks find you on the socials?
You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Irene the Alien.
Irene the Alien. I'm following you on Instagram. Now, before you leave, a last question from the Squirrel Friends. Did Lux ever accept her wig was not 40 inches?
Here's what you need to understand about my beautiful, talented sister Lux. The rules of physics that govern our reality are not the same rules that govern her reality.
There you go.
Lux lives in her own dimension, and the rules of things like measurement and length are completely different in that reality.
Yeah, they don't apply to her.
So whether or not you and I see 40 inches, that's not significant. It's about what Lux sees.
What Lux sees. All right, Irene, thank you so much for talking to us today. We wish you the best of luck.
Oh,
and
thank you,
Ari. Thank you so much for sharing your art with us. Everybody, do yourselves a favor. Follow Irene on Instagram. She is spectacular. I love the Dobby the House Elf look that you put together. That was so fantastic. All right. Thank you so much. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Alec. I hope you have a good day.
All right. Bye-bye.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this.
I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black. Directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R. Under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. What an episode. Episode 3.
Oh, now, my goodness.
Yeah. So, you know, we've given our opinions, I think, pretty respectfully on this show.
Yes.
And so when you talk about the queens on social media, let's change the culture of the RuPaul fans and make them supportive and loving. These girls go through so much in order to get on this show. They do a million shit gigs. You're seeing the tip of the iceberg every week of their journey, of what they've gone through. So if you tweet them, show them love on all of their socials. And don't forget to tweet us or DM us if you have any questions or hot takes for the queens. Where can we find you, Lonnie Love?
At Comic Lonnie Love on Instagram and at Lonnie Love on Twitter.
Okay, you have 2 million followers on Instagram. So does that mean you have 2 million DMs every day?
And I don't even go through those. But how can we find you on Instagram so people can follow you?
I only have 30,000 followers. So I will read your DMs. I will read them. I will read them. I will answer them. And I will on the air. And you can find me at Alec Mappa on Instagram.
You can listen to Squirrel Friends, the official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast, on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
And if you like this episode, make sure to rate and review us 5 stars, please. And tell a friend.
Watch all new episodes of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 15 every Friday on MTV.
We'll be back next Monday for an all-new episode of Squirrel Friends, the official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast.
See you next time.
Bye.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RiteRug.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.